You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. It is 7 on the West Coast. We continue on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Joining me from Tampa is a former Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant. What was your MOS? What was your MOS?
0369.
Before you were 0369, what was it?
0311. Then I was. Then I did logistics for a little bit. 0481. Landing support.
Okay.
So I kind of did a lot of stuff: civil affairs, landing support, infantry.
So, but you were an 0311 to start.
Correct. When I first came in, I was an 0311.
Okay. So I have a question for you. We are now going to we're integrating females. Should females be allowed to? There's one standard going through SOI, yes?
No, there should be just one standard.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting to. Should they? Should there? Should if you're if you're making your living in a combat arms MOS, should you be allowed to use the female standards for the CFT and the PFT for promotions? Or when you go into that world, is there one standard and everybody meets it?
There should be one standard and everybody meets it. Because when you're on the battlefield, you're not going to be picking up a 125-pound female. You're going to be picking the average, average weight of a male Marine is what? 185, 195, and not including all his gear. There should be just one standard, and that's it. That should be baseline across the military, the Marine Corps.
Yeah, but the reason we have separate standards is because there's biological differences between us. So how does the Marine Corps thread that needle? Right? Because once you go to a single standard, women are going to say, we've been adversely impacted. We're not getting promoted at the same rate, blah, 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 blah. And then what's the answer to that?
I think there is no good answer except that if you believe in equality, then there should be just one standard. You can't have it. You can't say one thing and then do something different. There has to be just one standard. And we all know combat is not going to be gender neutral. You're going to face the Taliban, Al Qaeda, or whoever on the battlefield, and it's generally going to be a guy. So you're going to have to measure up to that standard. And if women have a problem with that, then it's time maybe to go check somewhere else.
Well, I don't know that women have a problem with it, but you can see the institutional conundrum, right? And that is this.
Correct.
We've gone to this one standard relative to getting through SOI and whatnot. However, we don't know that we can go to one standard CFT PFT because then people are going to be impacted. They're not going to get promoted at the same rate. And then I have to admit that there are physical differences, and then we're not interchangeable. If I keep that system, it accounts for that we're not the same. We're not interchangeable pieces. So how do I do that?
I mean, I think the issue here is we're in uncharted territory here. In one respect, we've always had these two sets of standards, one for men, one for females, but the infantry was always exclusively for male. And it's just only been in the last year or we're starting to really have this discussion about integrating women into a primarily male field. And they're really, my brother's a firefighter in Seattle. And one of the things, the problems they had is they weren't getting enough females to pass the firefighter's physical fitness test.
Hold on. So let me look into my crystal ball. So they lowered the standards. Did you say correct?
Yeah, no, correct. They dropped the standards down.
That's.
So then the question.
Right.
The question is that what the firefighters have to go through with all the gear they wear, all the hoses, that hasn't changed. The equipment doesn't change.
Right.
It's just the physical fitness standards come down to do like some of the machines they have to use, the saws, the chainsaws are heavy to pull and get them started. Some of the males had a problem doing it, but the majority of the males could do it, but very, very few females could.
Right.
So they had to adjust the physical fitness in, but they're still having to face the same type of equipment their male counterparts. You can't just
Why don't we just get an electric chainsaw? Hello?
But you're still going to have to lift that chainsaw, whether it's electric or whether it's gas operated.
Yeah, I see. You know, you can see that, and then ultimately, so now we're going to have to do it instead of starting it in either X poles or X seconds. We're going to extend that, and so so you can see when you that will be because I think it's fair that. You know, if I don't get promoted as a corporal to sergeant and other people get promoted ahead of me and there's a dual standard, why couldn't I challenge that in court saying, hey, look, I compete with her in my MOS, and yet the standards aren't the same. And we profess to have a single standard, yet she got promoted, and she's not nearly as physically qualified as I am to do this job. But because she's a woman, she's shown favoritism, and so
that's a legitimate concern. I mean, we were both came from the industry. If we have to do 23 pull-ups now, but we have to do 20 pull-ups, what would you have said if a Marine only did 8 pull-ups?
Hey, hold on. Are you on a Bluetooth or something like that?
No, I'm not.
It just sounds like you're at the end of a tomato can. All right, keep going.
No, but I think the point is male Marines have to get, I think, now 23 pull-ups.
Right.
Female Marines have to get, I think, 9 or 8.
7.
So if a male Marine did, 7. If a male Marine just did 7 pull-ups in an infantry unit, you're like, Marine, come on, get to the gym, do something.
Yeah.
But combat, there's no one standard. There's one standard in combat, whether you make it physically or not. I think the point is we're getting into an uncharted territory. We've never gone to war into a conflict where we had females now primarily in infantry MOS. So that's what we're going to have to find out. Is this new change going to work in the next time we go to war? Because we're not all going to come off of base. You and me both had friends who went into Iraq in 2003, and they were in the same clothes, had one meal a day. Everybody was losing a lot of weight because they weren't eating a lot because they had to keep moving all the way until they got to Baghdad.
Right.
The question is, are we going to have females now as their primary job is infantry? And beyond just the gear, the weapon systems, the equipment, the ammo, that weight doesn't change. And if you carry, and I know you have, because you're an infantry officer, you had to carry the ammo, the mortar rounds. All that stuff is heavy over time.
It's miserable. Yeah, no kidding. It's miserable. But again, I didn't want to start that discussion. But it seems to be if we're going to go down this road where it's going to be the same, then to me there should be one standard for everybody. And if you and I are competing, and again, I would have said this for I don't know if I can say this. If I was a, I'd have to think about that. But if you come into my world and you're allowed to perform at a lower standard and get, and get 100 points, I have to do 23 pull-ups to get 100 points. You have to do 7. Why wouldn't I challenge that in court and say, how is this fair? We do the same job. We do the same job.
You're absolutely correct. And the reason why the Commandant and the Marine Corps went to a higher standard before was 20 pull-ups. Now you got to do 23. So you're going to start seeing the scores drop a little bit to get Marines to get to that 23. But if this Marine has to get 23, and let's say he gets only 18 pull-ups, but the female can get 7 and they get 4 points, then this guy's like, wait a minute, how is that fair?
Yeah. No, that's and again, the issue that the article points out is that it's fueling this double standard that the Marine Corps has, in which they don't have to do what we do, but you tell us that we're all equal and we're interchangeable. Okay, and I'll read you a couple quotes. Women from day one do not have to do the same PFD as men, said Maximilian Ugarte, a Marine veteran and creator of Terminal Lance, a comic strip. To men, that's immediately like, oh, they have not accomplished the same thing I have. Therefore, they don't rate the same respect that I do. One way to erase the gender gap, Ugarte said, is to interview with the Marine Corps, in an interview with the Marine Corps Times, would be to have women meet the same standards as men on the CFT and the PFT. I think you'd probably lose a lot of women, but the ones you'd keep would really be stellar fighting fit Marines that the men could respect on the level. Interesting discussion about, you know, our culture and what it embraces. And I think he's absolutely right. I don't know how you slice that if you're in a support MOS. I mean, can we have dual standards for men and women in support MOSs? And is that okay? Because that's the current state in the Marine Corps. But when you go to a combat arms unit, should there only be one standard? And it should be that one standard at SOI in terms of job performance. It should be that one standard in the fleet. Okay? And so I don't think there should be two standards.
No, I would agree with you. Standards should be the one standard that everybody has to meet. Is when you get into the battlefield, that's the ultimate guide if this can be successful. So if you're going to have someone at a lower physical fitness standard than this person, that is definitely going to impact when you get into combat. And that's what people are missing. This isn't, we're both all about equality. And I just think there should be equality, but there's certain things that equality doesn't work, and it doesn't work on the battlefield. And that's what's missing. People are looking at it back here. You have to think what it's going to be like in combat. I mean, like, my father was in combat. I'm sure you had relatives who were in combat. I mean, it's different. Your body takes a beating when you carry all that stuff. And the gear we've got now is heavy. And like I said earlier, ammo doesn't change your weight because it's handled by a female or a male Marine. And being in infantry, you got to carry your mortar rounds, your machine gun rounds. That stuff gets heavy after a while.
Yeah. I just don't know how you sustain. I don't know how in this debate, as we look at this, how in a competitive world of promotions that you can justify two standards for PFT and CFT. And I think the guy who writes Terminal Lance is right in that. Look, if she doesn't have to do what I do, and then you want to tell me she's my equal? And come on, man. Nobody's buying that bullshit. And so, you know, she's going to have an easier time to get promoted. And that's not right. One standard. So what does that stand? Do we lower the standard so that women, because again, physiologically they're not the same. So we do.
No, they're not.
So anyway, all right. Let's talk about. I want to change gears because we could talk about this forever. Let's talk about this week. Over the weekend, get your thoughts. North Korea launches a medium-range ballistic missile. That over the weekend. The president in Saudi Arabia, that over the weekend. He in Israel now. Where would you like to start?
Why don't we first start with, I guess we got the North Korea one. It's kind of ironic that North Korea did launch this missile now because the attention was focused on the Middle East, and I guess Kim just wants to be in the news, but I think it goes back to...
Okay, hold on. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you better now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just got to put the... I'll make sure I keep the phone next to my...
Yeah, keep it next...
There, but I mean...
Go ahead.
I think what it is with Kim, I mean, this is mere speculation. He launched this missile test. At the same time, all the attention was focused on Trump, and he always has to be in the limelight. But then it comes back to, one is, how much influence does China have with North Korea, and is China exerting its influence to curtail what North Korea is doing? That's to be seen.
Yeah, I would... Do you know Grant Newsham? Colonel, intel guy.
I think I've heard the name.
Okay, he says that, you know, China has not helped us for 25 years. There is no reason, under the broad heading of hope is not a COA, there is no reason why we
Correct.
Should put any credence into the idea of China helping us unless China gets something mighty in return, like either greater access to the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea or in the East China Sea, the islands that they disputed with the Japanese. And the Japanese will not give those up. And so short of that, there would be a huge price that the Chinese would exact for any assistance rendered. And they're not going to do it by their good graces. They haven't done so. And even since this is in the last month, since they had the meeting down in Mar-a-Lago. The Chinese have done nothing to help us.
Well, the only other way to do something, it's almost reminiscent of what Reagan did in the early 1980s when he put medium-range nuclear missiles into Western Europe. Now, I think in 91 they pulled out medium-range nuclear missiles out of South Korea, but if we tell the Japanese and the South Koreans, hey, if you want to go nuclear to counter North Korea, we'll support you on that. Now, we've got a different government in South Korea who wants to go back to the sunshine policies of the early 2000s, which was the six-party talk, which they went nowhere.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting to see because that new president of South Korea, he was not in favor of putting that bad missile defense system into South Korea, which was done on the previous leader of South Korea. Yeah. So it's interesting to see where we're going to go, but that's the only way. It's just, and Japan is China's kind of enemy. They fear a rear as a Japan than us. Not that they don't fear us, but
right.
Their historical enemy has always been Japan, and maybe we up the ante and tell China, we're not backing down from this. This isn't going to go back, and we're going to, you know, make concessions, and everything is nice. Because at some point, North Korea is going to get a ballistic missile, and it's going to have the delivery mechanism to put a nuclear missile on a ballistic missile.
Well, they just,
and that changes all calculation.
There is reporting this morning that they've said that they're finished testing and they're ready to mass produce it. So you've got that going for you. Bottom line is we don't think China's going to help. This is one more test to prove their technology, and they're one step closer. And other than some saber rattling and some defensive things, we're really no closer to any resolution. How do you see this thing? Look into your crystal ball. My opinion is that ultimately a political solution is required here, and one that the United States enters into talks with North Korea, China, South Korea, Japan, sitting around the table to concoct some kind of treaty with the UN present. Your thoughts? How does it end?
That's an unknown because we've done that with the six-party talks in the 2000s. Once the genie was lifted, when they did the signed the nuclear agreement back in 94, but they were allowed to cheat for so long, and once they exploded the nuclear device in 2006, the genie's out of the bottle. It didn't work back then, so what's going to work now? We're going to go back and get concessions, but all we're doing is delaying the inevitable that North Korea will get the technology and the means to put a nuclear device on a ballistic missile. This is the same thing we're having with Iran. The same individuals who negotiated this one in 94 were the same ones who negotiated the Iran nuclear deal. And that's going to be a disaster in about 5 years. It's already shown its disaster now, how that didn't work. And that played into Trump's trip to Riyadh over the weekend.
My guest from the Ubaldi Report is John Ubaldi, the principal there. And we've been talking about the equity in terms of gender in the Marine Corps. Where does that issue head? We're now talking about North Korea. So how do you see the thing in Korea resolving itself?
That's a difficult thing to answer because I don't know how it's going to answer.
Get out your crystal ball and give me an idea. If I put a gun to your head and said, "Okay, Ubaldi, tell me what's going to happen," what would you say?
Well, right now, Donald Trump, if the one thing he can't do in a crystal ball, if he backs down from what he said before, then all bets are off, and everybody's going to look at that, oh, he backed down here, this is going to cause problems somewhere else. There's got to be a way, and we've got to keep pressuring China and maybe do it through the anybody that does business or any company that is in a subsidiary does business with North Korea, and that punishes China, can't do business in the United States. So we've really got to up the ante or maybe do like what Reagan did back in the early 80s. Okay, if North Korea is going to go this direction, we're going to put a THAAD missile defense system in Japan, and we're also going to allow Japan to go nuclear.
Okay, so we walk down that road, right, and we'll take whatever happens. So if they say go to hell, because the problem is when that is not going to be we're going to shoot some missiles, we're going to have a very low casualty event kinetically. When you light that one off, there's going to be a lot of people get killed in that.
It's good. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm not sure when, the United States is doing a missile defense test. That's another thing that's sending signal to North Korea. But also, I think the one signal we have to send is to Beijing that this isn't, we're not going to let this go. We're not going to allow North Korea to have a ballistic missile that has a nuclear device on it that can threaten our allies, American military presence, and most importantly, the West Coast of the United States. Mm. That's going to be unacceptable. So maybe we just got to keep prodding Beijing. So, yeah, not so much North Korea. Beijing is the one. And if they don't want to take part, then we just got to keep upping that ante to make sure we're serious. And that's the problem with what we've done around the world. I'm not advocating military force or military action all over the place, but because we showed sign of weakness with dealing with Russia and Ukraine and Crimea, what we did in Syria in 2013 and failed to do up until the recent missile strike earlier this year, it shows to our adversaries that America's word means nothing. And that puts the current administration in a bind because right now you have to counteract with the previous administration. That's the whole trip that Trump did to Riyadh and going through to our allies. Now he's in Israel. Then he goes to Italy to meet the Pope and on to the European capitals for NATO summit and the G7 summit in Sicily. Our word doesn't have the same meaning it once did.
Okay, so we have to reestablish our word, and we do that. We do that in Korea, but the key use of military power is to force a diplomatic outcome, not to go to war. Going to war obviously is the last
correct
choice. So, and your point is, we need, by using our military, by being true to our word, by having strategy linked to our American strategic interests and following through on that with this patient, persistent presence, so people know that we mean what we say, that you can resolve this, hopefully, politically and diplomatically with the North Koreans.
Correct.
But our credibility's injured because of the way we've done foreign policy for the last 16 years. And that's what he's dealing with.
And that's when they did the missile strike after Syria used chemical weapons on its own people. Well, President Trump said this will not stand, and he launched missile strikes. He didn't go do a massive strike, but he said, we're going to do something, and he did. So it sent the credibility that, wait a minute, this guy means business. He says what he says, and he's going to do what he said. But when you have, like the previous administration, said it's going to change our calculation if they use chemical weapons on his own people or they move it. He did both, and we did nothing. That sent a tremor around the world that you can push America around, and it's always going to back down. The whole nuclear agreement with Iran kept balking, and we kept backing off. Oh, yeah, you can have this. You can have this. And they got everything they wanted. The sanctions are lifted. They got $150 billion plus. The only thing we curtailed was the uranium enrichment, but we allowed the testing of ballistic missiles to go on and the delivery testing to work. That's being done at this Pashtun military base that we can't inspect. Iran can allow to self-inspect themselves. So this sent Trevor to North Korea. Oh, we can keep going. America's not going to do anything. And you almost have to do what Eisenhower did. Eisenhower kept his policy ambiguous, and he meant business when he meant something. And we didn't go off to war, but he let our adversaries know you can only push so far, and America's going to say, enough's enough. And we need to use all elements of our national power, not just military, our political, our economic, our financial. We have a lot of resources to put to bear. We just need to use all of it.
My guest from the Ubaldi Reports, John Ubaldi. John, we're going to take a break. You hold on, yes?
I will hold on.
More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So whatever you do, do yourself a favor and don't touch that dial. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Monday, 8:40 here on the West Coast, 11:40 on the East Coast, where my guest is. We're talking current events with the owner-operator of Ubaldi Reports, the Ubaldi Reports, and that is none other than the son of an Italian sailor. And right? Am I right or wrong?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, you're the son of a baseball manager.
Exactly. Exactly. The he is John Ubaldi, retired Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant. Email question, this. Mac, interesting conversation about going to one standard. I don't think the military can ever embrace that because it would seriously make them punish women in this whole movement to one standard. I think it's almost impossible for them to embrace that because women will certainly be punished. I do think it's interesting to consider the status quo in support MOSs, where the physical standard isn't as high, and a different standard in combat arm MOSs. You would call it a combat arms standard, and it would be genderless. And so, truly, the women that will be able to do these things and sustain them will be unique physical specimens. It's not for everybody. We know that. The nation's defense at the pointy end of the spear is not for everybody. But I don't see how you can coexist with one standard to get into the MOS and then a double standard for promotion. It just doesn't make sense, especially in the combat arms MOSs. I can see in admin, certainly. In logistics, probably. In comm, probably. They've done it this way for years, and I don't see any need to change it. It seems to work there. But I don't think where greater physical skill is required that you can have a double standard and make that work. I'd be curious about your thoughts. Yeah, my opinion is I don't see how you – that troubles me, to put it. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to young Marines in that we're going to be held to one standard over here, but then we're going to move over here and two standards are going to be applied to you. So, I don't know, John. Your thoughts can...
But that's the debate that needs to happen that right. hasn't happened.
Right.
We're just talking about let's make women go into the combat arms, but we're not talking about all the other things that go along with it.
Yeah.
And, like, I went open contract in the Marines.
Hula.
They decided we need you as an infantryman. You go there. What about if a female goes open contract and does she get slated to the infantry for the needs of the Marine Corps? That hasn't been discussed.
Well, of course she does.
It can't.
Well, no, she can't. No, she has to opt to join the infantry. She can't be open contract into the Marine Corps.
But that means you're going, if you want one standard or equality, why is a male who comes into the Marine Corps like
you know why, you know why, you know why. You can't take it, we have to admit some basic things, and then I want to move on to something else. One, we're not all interchangeable. Not all males are interchangeable, not all females. If you opt to be a combat arms MOS, you have to sign up for the combat arms fitness standard. And those are going to be different. And you can't force a woman into the combat arms. It's not right. Because she physically faces a different physical standard. Whereas a male will face the same physical standard that he's measured by throughout the rest of the Marine Corps. A female's going to be, have to, in my Marine Corps, where there's one standard in the combat arms,
correct.
It's going to be more difficult for a female, and you can't compel her into that. That's my system.
No, that's your system, but then you've got to remember, now you're starting to discriminate here. Why is he not given that choice that the female is? This is
because
these are the things
he's
that
a guy.
Nobody...
He's a guy. He doesn't have a say. Yeah.
This is the whole debate that nobody is talking about. It's all one thing to say we want equality across the board, but this isn't civilian world. This is the military. And when our job, the mission of the Department of Defense is to defend America and basically fight and win its war.
Right.
Main one thing, kill the enemy.
Right.
And when you start talking about this stuff, equality goes out the door and doesn't work in combat. It's got to be one standard, and that either you meet it or you don't. And then you got to factor in, there was one female sergeant, she said it the best. She was on a board about this particular issue, and she said, listen, we're all not going to be 19-year-old CrossFit females. you got to take the average female coming in, and
you
females
can't,
are just
though.
Like males. We could, but that's you and me see that. The people who are pushing this issue, they just want equality. They're not looking at what we see because we came from the infantry. That's the big problem. Those who are pushing this are just seeing it like, I want equality among everything. It doesn't work in combat. And until America realizes that, we're going to face this. And the decisions
America,
we make here,
the politicians don't care. We both know that, right?
No, they don't.
They don't. Okay. So now it's left. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how this works because if the Marine Corps went to, if the Marine Corps implemented, hey, it'd be kind of interesting to see a Marine take the system to court and say, look, I'm being discriminated against because I'm male. And I was discriminated against in promotion. She's allowed, we both pass a single standard, and then she's got a better chance of promotion because her physical standards are lower.
And that would be interesting to see if a Marine does take that to court. But our elected officials, they're just one, they're playing to a base. They could, I mean, to be honest, let's be honest, a lot of the segment of America, we're going into Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
And let's be honest, there's a good segment of the American population and their elected officials, they want to rechange the military to fit their own socioeconomic scale. They're not worried. Their sons and daughters aren't going in.
Right. Hold on. Okay. We need to stop this or else we'll talk about it all day.
All right.
So we talked about Korea. We need to restore our credibility and then try to force a diplomatic solution with the Koreans. And in order to do that, we have to be firm. But the big question mark is now South Korea, with a new president of South Korea.
Correct.
What do they say? And so we'll go sideways with that for a while, until we reach another crisis, and then we'll begin to, if the South Koreans are in, and I don't know how they could be anything else, then we'll go ahead and see who's serious and who's not. But the Chinese helping us is not gonna happen. Let me get your thoughts on the president. Give me your thoughts. I think the president's gonna have a triumphant visit to NATO. He called him out last summer for not contributing, and now they've announced plans that they're going to. They have a plan to close the gap in terms of spending, in terms of military hardware. They've also agreed to look at deploying troops into Afghanistan and also into Iraq to help with relative to NATO's part in being a robust alliance. Your thoughts? Will he be? I'm not sure he's going to be greeted as a I don't want to say a savior, but he's certainly pumped new life into NATO.
Well, he has pumped new life, but what Donald Trump is saying, he just has a rough way of saying it. He's saying what previous presidents who've said for the last number of decades, even Ronald Reagan told NATO, you got to start contributing to your own defense. Don't expect America to do all the work. So he's not saying what anybody else is saying, but it is brought new life into it, and that's the whole reason he's going to NATO, to bring new life into this military alliance and get the NATO members to do certain things. Even though they sent troops to Afghanistan, are they going to do what the Americans and the Australians and the British are doing the combat side of things? We'll have to let that to be seen.
All right. I mean, to me, you're right. He has a rough way. He has his own way of saying things. But I mean, I think that he's reinvigorated that whole discussion has turned out, I think, in a very positive way for NATO. And I'll tell you what, and Europe needs a stronger NATO. It doesn't need a weak NATO staring at Russia on its knees. It needs a strong NATO looking at Russia along with the United States and saying, stop it. We're not going to tolerate it. And there's nothing that you can do against us.
And that's the other thing with Russia. With Trump going to NATO, now I don't know if he's going to bring this up, I don't know, but I mean, they need to get on a common plan of how they're going to deal with Russia. I mean, I wish the Obama administration, the Europeans get a lot of their energy from Russia. Why don't we sell them all the natural gas we have at market prices? Creates jobs here. We make money. They benefit from it, and they're not tied to being manipulated by the Russians. And the Russian economy is tied, 80% of its economy is tied to oil. And oil prices are extremely low. He's a deal maker. Make a deal.
Okay. All right.
He can do that at the G7 summit in Sicily, and I think later on this week.
My guest, John Ubaldi of the Ubaldi Reports. But so bottom line, though, is the NATO conference should be the president going there, reviewing plans for the bolstering of NATO. So that should be a good visit for him, yes?
I think it will be a good visit. Two ways. It reassures that the rhetoric he said on the campaign trail is going to be different than reality. He could tell them, hey, listen, guys, you guys got to start ponying up, but we're still going to be involved with NATO. We're still going to be involved with Europe.
Okay.
So that will be a good visit. The G7 summit will be another good visit. It'll be interesting. The next visit after Israel, he goes to the Vatican. That's all going to be about immigration, meaning the refugees coming out of Syria. The Pope wants the Europeans and mainly the United States to take more of these refugees. But that's another issue that has to be discussed at the G7 summit and also at the NATO summit, what to do with our policy towards Syria, because these hundreds of thousands of refugees are flooding into Europe, and we're seeing some of the problems that are resulting from there.
Yeah, but I don't.
So it's
been interesting what's happened on our southern border with simply his rhetoric and his election, that those numbers have gone down. The question is, how long does it stay like that as people look and see what the United States is going to do? The Vatican will be a PR thing. I don't see that having a whole lot of weight. A final question for you here, an easy one. Okay.
Okay.
Does he survive his 4 years?
I think he does.
I don't.
I think he does.
I don't. He can't help himself.
Well, it's true, but it's all going to depend what Robert Mueller finds out. Now, he's not prone to press conferences, so no one knows where he's going to go. Now, Jonathan Turley made a comment regarding to the Democrats. Be careful what you wish for. Now, Jonathan Turley is a constitutional scholar from George Washington University.
Right.
And he was talking about, look, all the money the Russians have given to Republicans and Trump and all that stuff. He goes, be careful, because money flows in Washington. It doesn't just flow to one party. It goes the other direction. So Robert Mueller could look one direction, and if he's looking at the notes that Comey took with Trump, would he go back and look at the notes that Comey took with Obama and Loretta Lynch and did the Clinton campaign? Did they were in connections with Loretta Lynch in that whole investigation?
Mm.
Does he go back and look at that investigation? We'll have to be seen. I mean, you're right. I want that. He just keeps his mouth quiet and just focus on.
He can't do that.
Fixing the economy. That's the key.
He can't do that. I got an email a while ago that talked about unforced errors, right? Like in sports. Okay. The way he fired Comey, he was pissed. He fired him like he was, like he was nothing. You know, he didn't call him in and say, hey, clearly we have different agendas. I'm going to need your resignation. We'll begin the process. And, you can look to vacate your position in the next 60 days. I will allow you to resign if you care to. If not, then I'll announce it. So whatever you want to do, treat him with respect. Let him go. But he treated him like a clown, really, the way he booted him and the way Comey finds out about it and all that. And then why is he talking about that to the Russians? And then the cherry on top of all that is the number of leaks in the executive branch is incredible.
Oh, So I would agree with you. It's just amateur hour among amateur hour. You fire the guy. You come up with your reason in a letter. Within 24 hours, you refuted all that. You threw your communications team under the bus.
Oh, my God.
There was a when I went to Afghanistan, there was a colonel. He had fired his number two person. He didn't talk about it. He did it very professionally, and we moved on. The way he did it, he fired him when Comey was on the West Coast. He thought it was a joke. There's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. He did it the way he shouldn't have done it. And if he's going to survive, he's got to get off that Twitter feed and focus on get the economy moving. If he doesn't, or if Moore comes out with Robert Mueller, then he's got issues. Then we're going to be looking at President Pence.
Okay, he's got no friends on Capitol Hill, right? Nobody will stick their neck out. And I would think the majority of people on Capitol Hill are way more comfortable with President Pence than they are with President Trump. So there's nobody to save him. And he can't keep from getting on his Twitter account. He can't keep from making mistakes like he made with Tomey, because that's how he's been his entire life. And you and I have both seen leaders like that. You can talk to him until you're blue in the face, but when it happens, they can't stop it. I will tell you what. Jim Mattis is Jim Mattis. Okay? He is not going to be Joe Dunford. Now, Jim Mattis' strong suit is his intellect, right? And his discipline. Jim Mattis's his Achilles heel is he's got a temper. And he tends to say things. Now, it seems like he's learned from some of the things he said in open forums in the late, right, around 2008, 9, 10. Okay? But that's his Achilles heel. You can't ask him not to be Jim Mattis. That's who he is. Okay? And, but Donald Trump, we can't ask him not to be Donald Trump, and he doesn't seem like he learns from the mistakes that he made.
The only thing that could probably come of this is I was on a radio show about this. That subject came up, and I go, the only thing that's going to probably change, or is going to have to change, somebody close to him, meaning his kid, are going to have to say, "Dad, knock it off. You're not on the campaign trail. You've got to be professional." Because you're losing support, and there's only so long the Republicans are going to, like, we can't keep going forward with this. Now, that said,
I don't think that works.
We got a reprieve with Robert Mueller taking over this investigation, because he doesn't have leaks. He doesn't have press conferences. So it's going to take months. Now, let's say he gets done with this investigation August, September. In August, September, when people aren't focusing now, is the insurance companies are going to mention what their preliminary numbers are for the next enrollment period. If nothing is done with health care, and doesn't look like it's going to get done until the fall, everybody's going to get a 25 to 30% increase in their health care premium.
Right.
So that's going to go over that debate again.
Right. But they can't make, the Republicans can't come up with a plan. Now it's into the Senate. And so with the announcement of that, you know, the roof will blow off again, and Obamacare will continue to be crushed under the weight of its own fiscal burden. And you're going to have, you're going to have all those people that got Obamacare, and they're going to be paying higher premiums, higher copays across the board, and they simply can't afford the care. And so I don't know.
But the last thing, what's going to happen also is you got to remember, you got 10 Democratic senators up for re-election in 2018 in states won by Donald Trump, and 5 of them come from states that he won by double digits. This is going to force both the Democrat groups, definitely the Republicans, because they're owning this now. They said you were going to repeal and replace it. You better start doing something, or otherwise you're going to get tossed. But it's also going to put the onus on Democrats as well. You don't want to fix this? You're going to go back to your district and state saying you don't want to fix Obamacare or replace it with something that's going to drive my costs down? That's all left to be seen. We don't know how this is all going to play out.
Okay. All right. But you think he'll get through his term?
I think so. I think so.
All right. All right. I'm gonna
Unless somebody tells him he got to resign, but I think he's going to make it through.
All right. All right. John Ubaldi. TheUbaldiReports.com or UbaldiReports.com. Check it out.
Correct. All right.
Master Guns, have a good day.
All right, take it easy. Have a good day.
All right, thanks for the visit. That is John Ubaldi here on a Monday. I don't see how he makes it through his term, honestly. He's not disciplined enough to not, I mean, again, firing, you know that people, before he did it, you know that they went to him and said, you can't do it like this. All this is going to do, and he just, do it. Do what I told you to do. All right? Do what I told you to do. So, yeah. And then, like, why would he bring it up to the Russians? Let's talk Russian stuff. We don't need to talk about this with the Russians. Okay? In fact, here's what we're going to talk about. Here's the agenda with the Russians. Russia, Russia, Russia. We're not talking about anything in the United States. Certainly nothing domestic. But those boobs. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a break. The Gunners should join us next. Here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.